trying to think of something to... The company I work for, we use marketing to try to get people's attention. So I was trying to come up with a marketing type headline to really capture you and bring you into this lesson. And the thing that kept going through my head is there is someone in this crowd tonight who is going to keep you from going to heaven. And for each one of us, it's a different person because it's ourself. And that's completely true of all of us, is that ourself is the one thing that can stop us from going to heaven. And we'll see throughout the lesson tonight that there's actually nothing on the face of the earth that can keep you from heaven except yourself. And so that means that we really need to think about ourselves. Now, not in a haughty way, but we need to have the right attitude toward ourselves. There's all kinds of issues when you start talking about thinking about yourself. There's the notion that, you know, you think more highly of yourself than you should, or that, you know, maybe you have self-esteem problems where, you know, you don't think you can do anything. There's all kinds of problems that we have when it comes to talking about ourselves. But the simple fact is the scriptures, by and large, try to give us the tools that we need in order to be able to deal with ourselves. And it's important for us to understand what these tools are because, you know, quite frankly, we're our own worst enemies. You know, I don't know what your temptations are. You know, there's plenty of them out there. But you know your temptations. You know what is destined to push you off the right path and into a path of sin. And so in order to be able to manage yourself, in order to not do that, in order to be a follower of God, you need the tools from the Bible to give you a better self-attitude, a godly self-attitude, because that's what we need to have in order to be acceptable to God. We need to be able to look at the tools that we have. And the reason why we know that we're our own worst enemy is in James chapter 1. It's a scripture we all know. Verse 14, but each one is tempted when he is carried away and enticed by his own lust. And when lust is conceived, it gives birth to sin. And when sin is accomplished, it brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good thing given and every perfect gift from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadows. We're our own enemies. Our temptations are what takes us away into a path of sin. So we really need to remember that we need to put ourselves second when it comes to the things of the world. We need to put ourselves last after God because our temptations are what's going to carry us away. The question is, do you have the mindset of being honest with yourself? To recognize what those temptations are. Because we're all mature enough. None of us in this room are people who just became Christians yesterday. So we're all mature enough as Christians to understand that what temptation is in my life. You know, what is it that's going to carry me away? And then dealing with that temptation. Dealing with what could potentially take me away from God. And the thing that we need to remember is that God is for us. Romans 8, we use Romans 8 quite a bit. And it's a wonderful passage. And if you look there, the whole section starts, you know, up in, I think, 31. But the passage that we all know, you know, it starts at verse 38, for I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything created will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I heard a wonderful series of lessons this last week. It was Luke Chandler up in Tampa. And his point was, every time you pray, you're starting a battle with these principalities and these powers and these things that we can't see. Because they're out there and they want to separate us from God. But God says, no, these things will never separate us from God. We don't have to be worried about the devil. He can't cause us to sin and fall away. Yes, he can put temptations in our path. Yes, he can make our life hard and make us miserable so that we, you know, like Job, find ourselves in a situation where we might feel better if we were scraping the boils off our skin with pottery, with broken pottery. But he can't cause us to sin. Only we can cause ourselves to sin. God will always be there for us. He's always in our corner. And that's the problem, is we often as Christians fail to see that the power that we have in our own hands on being faithful to God, that we are the ones who take ourselves away from God. We are the ones who sin and cause ourselves to be separated. God is there for us and will always be trying to give us the tools we need to be strengthened and to overcome these temptations that we face. So what are the tools that we need to use to properly evaluate ourselves? First off, Romans 12. We know verses 1 and 2 of verse 12, where he tells us to present our bodies a living sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. And look at what he says in verse 3. For through the grace given to me, I say that everyone among you not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. I think one of the hardest things that we have is what Paul's talking about here, is that it's very easy for us to get haughty about ourselves. It's very easy for us to think that we are better, smarter than the next person sitting in that row behind us or in front of us or beside us. And we delude ourselves a lot of times by minimizing our sin. Yeah, I sin, but my sin's not nearly as bad as that sin that I know about the other guy here at church has. You know, yeah, I sin, but I'm not nearly as bad as these people who work with me, and I see them doing all manners of unruly, unscriptural, immoral things. I'm not nearly that bad. That's the temptation right there. You're thinking more highly of yourself than you should. Because we know that there's no difference in sin. We like to fool ourselves and think that there is. We like to fool ourselves that, oh, that was a little white lie. A lie is a lie. And when we start fooling ourselves into thinking that it's not, we're thinking more highly of ourselves. We're trying to justify our own sin by saying it's just not nearly as bad as we think it is. We need to spend time proving ourselves. Look at Galatians chapter 6. At verse 3, Paul tells the Galatians, "For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But each one must examine his own work, and then he will have reason for boasting in regard to himself alone, and not regard to another. For each must will bear his own load." I've said this before, but I was very fortunate to work at a place where we took mistakes very seriously. The publishing company I worked for previously, we had this attitude about mistakes, is they are going to happen. And a lot of companies, a lot of publishing companies, whenever a mistake has happened, there's this headhunt for who made the mistake so that they can quickly fire them. And you've probably seen all manner of movies or TV shows where this is the case, where some big mistake has happened and some person is afraid they're about to get fired and they don't know what they're going to do because they made this awful mistake. And fortunately, the company I worked at changed my attitude toward this. Is mistakes are learning experiences. Mistakes give you the opportunity to make yourself better if you have the right attitude, if you have the right version of yourself approaching that mistake. Because you can look at it, and if you're honest with yourself, you'll say, yeah, I really messed up here. I did this thing that I shouldn't have done. And in our case, we're talking about some sin. And then hopefully you can take that and say, I sinned and I need to make that right. I need to go to the person I sinned against and I need to ask forgiveness of them, as we see Jesus talking about in the book of Matthew. And secondly, and this was always the way at the publishing company that we expressed the problem, is, all right, what was the mistake? How was it made? Secondly, how do we prevent it from happening the next time? What do we put in place to make sure that doesn't happen? And that's what we need to say to ourselves, is we need to, as Paul told the Galatians, we need to examine our own work. We need to be honest. We will never be able to fix the sin in our life if we're not going to be honest about the sin in our life. If you can't sit down and say to yourself, yeah, this is a sin and I keep doing it, and I need to solve this and be honest with ourselves about that sin, you'll never be able to get that sin out of your life. So you need to be honest and examine your own work in order to have the proper perspective of yourself, because we can't fool ourselves. Paul also says in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, at verse 5, this is another verse that you've probably heard many times, test yourself to see if you are in the faith, examine yourself. Or do you not recognize this about yourself, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail the test? I often hear young Christians very concerned with themselves about the fact that they feel like they are testing themselves. Like they're saying, am I in the faith or not? Am I a Christian? Am I the proper Christian that I should be? And they think that that question shows the lack of faith, when rather what Paul's saying is that's the sign of a strong Christian, that you're constantly questioning yourself. You're testing your faith. You're asking yourself, am I the kind of Christian I need to be? Is there some failing within me that I need to get out of my life so that I'm a better Christian? That's what Paul is telling us here, is we need to test ourselves in order to make ourselves stronger. Back in Galatians chapter 6, at verse 1 of that, brethren, even if anyone is caught in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of gentleness, each one looking to yourself so that you will not be tempted. Being caught in sin as a Christian is not an insurmountable problem if we have the right attitude. You know, Paul says here that, you know, we can be restored. That requires the act of asking for forgiveness, both from God and from the person you may have sinned against. Obviously, there are some sins that may not involve other people. Sins of attitude, sins of thoughts and other things. And those you may not need to ask forgiveness of someone else, but you do need to ask forgiveness of God. And if you're caught in a trespass, you need to look at what this person says. And also, this is an important thing for us as Christians. If we find somebody in the church that we know has committed some trespass, you know, we don't pull them aside and, like, blast them. That's not what Paul is saying that we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to do it in the spirit of gentleness, because every single one of us has a self that might possibly cause ourselves to fail. Remember, we're all our own worst enemy. And then finally, in this set of tools that we need to think about, Philippians chapter 2, verse 3, do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. As Christians, we need to find the path of the humble. And sometimes it's hard. The first problem with humility is if you think you're humble, you probably aren't, right? Boy, I was really humble today. You should have seen me out there. You'd have been proud of me. That's not humility. That's arrogance. We need to set aside ourselves. And you know what Paul here is saying to the Philippians is the same thing as the golden rule. It's a restatement of the golden rule. Treat others the way you would want to be treated. Put others before yourself. That's what humility is putting others before yourself and making sure that your wants and needs do not take precedent over the wants and needs of those around you. Again, that's difficult. Sometimes it's not possible. But if that's not possible, it should be because of circumstance, not because of your attitude about yourself. There might be a case where somebody needs something, money, food, something else, and you can't provide it because of circumstance. Maybe you don't have enough money to supply the food or to give them extra. You don't have time because of things going on in your own life. That's one thing. But to have the attitude of, I'm not going to share with this person because I'm better than that, that's not humble. We need to put others before ourselves is what Paul says here. In order to truly be able to have the right attitude for ourselves, we need to conquer ourselves. We need to put ourselves into subjection. We have to first off deny ourselves. Matthew 16, verse 24, then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man is going to come in glory of his Father with his angels and will then repay every man according to his deeds. We need to deny ourselves. When Jesus here says that you need to take up your cross and follow me, it's easy for us 2,000 years later to say it's a very beautiful metaphor. But it's not a metaphor. I mean, during the time that he spoke this, it's very likely that some of the people who were his disciples listening to this were eventually crucified the same way he was for the same for worshiping him, for following him. And we kind of fool ourselves in our modern society to think that we are beyond this and that, yeah, times have been tough the past 2 years for Christians because governments have been telling us because of COVID we shouldn't worship. But don't be fooled. Even before COVID, the governments were coming after us. I mean, I can tell you in New Jersey and Philadelphia, there are laws that state if you preach something in a public forum that violates a homosexual's beliefs that they have on themselves, that you can actually be put to civil trial against them. And there were some preachers, I don't believe they were part of the Church of Christ, as I remember it, right after we moved here, there was some street preachers in Philadelphia who actually had that very thing happen to them, that they were sued because they were teaching against the sin of homosexuality. They're coming for us. And we need to make sure that we deny ourselves, because we may have to take up our cross and follow Christ. We may sometime, hopefully not, hopefully it never comes to that, but there may be a time in our life where we face the same sort of concerns that first century Christians had, that they could be put to death for merely worshiping God. We know even in our world today, probably not as much now as when we were a little bit younger, but I know people personally, I've met people who were arrested when they were in China for merely having a Bible. So we need to be prepared to take up our cross. And that takes the denial of self, because we need to put God's will first and be willing to put ourselves before God and say, I'm willing to do what you say regardless of what happens to me. I'm willing to go to jail if that's what it takes. I'm willing to be put to death if that's what it takes. It's not an easy thing. And we shouldn't flippantly sit here and say that, oh yeah, that'd be easy to do, because we know it wouldn't be. But we need to be prepared to do it. And the only way to be prepared to do it is to deny ourselves, as Jesus says here in Matthew 16. We need to make sure that we are not living for ourselves. Philippians chapter 2, verse 3, do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind. We've read that once, but we'll read it again. Verse 4 is the next one. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. We should be putting ourselves secondly, and the way we do that, Paul tells the Philippians, is by looking out for others, helping them out when they need it, strengthening them in whatever way that we can when they need it. And as we talked about, we need to not deceive ourselves. Let's see. 1 John chapter 1. This is another one. Jamie taught 1 John not too long ago, so this is a verse that should stand out. And we've read that, you've probably heard this in countless sermons. Verse 8 of chapter 1, if we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. We talked about this already. We can't deceive ourselves when it comes to sin. We have to be honest with ourselves. And if we say we have no sin, if we minimize our sin in any way, that's putting ourselves before God. And we can't do that. We also need to make sure that we're learning self-control. In Second Peter, I think, we see in chapter 1 when Peter is going through all of those characteristics, starting in verse 5, that strengthen us. We see there in verse 6 that in our knowledge we add self-control. Self-control is not a flashy characteristic in our life, is it? You know, it's not something that you necessarily would see somebody and say, that person has a lot of self-control. Because honestly, it's the lack of self-control you'll notice. Someone who has a lot of, let's say, anger in them, you wouldn't necessarily know that if they have good self-control. Because you would never see it, because they could control themselves when they do get angry. If someone is wild and has a wild life, if they learn how to control that, you're not going to know that. You know, I don't know how many older Christians I've sat down with and talked about their early life and how they became a Christian, where the life they led before a Christian was one that just amazed me, that they were out there. They were doing stuff that you couldn't think of, and they learned self-control. They learned how to deny themselves and how to control their impulse. And by doing that, they were able to make themselves a stronger Christian. And so that helped them to conquer themselves by doing that. And ultimately, this is one that I found very interesting. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. Paul tells the Corinthians, therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all defilement of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Cleanse ourselves. Oftentimes when we think of cleansing, we think of that being the sole function of the blood of Christ. But here Paul tells us that we need to be active in cleansing ourselves of all of these defilements of the flesh and spirit. Not just sins of the flesh, but also of the spirit, he says here. That we need to be actively cleansing ourselves of these things. That means that we need to, again, examine these temptations in our life and try to remove them. Try to find ways around them. And here's the thing about that. There's going to be, you know, if that temptation, whatever that is in my life, that I struggle with, the reason why I struggle with it is because I don't know how to handle it. So what do I do in order to cleanse myself of it? Sort of a circular reasoning here. Well, sometimes that means I have to be brave enough to talk to somebody else about that problem. Because sure enough, there's got to be somebody else in this room that's dealt with the same issues that I'm struggling with. The same issues that you may be struggling with. And we need to be brave enough and humble enough to trust our fellow Christians that they will, as Paul said at the beginning of chapter 6 of Galatians, will help us to overcome our sins through a spirit of gentleness. So we need to be able to go to someone and say, listen, I'm struggling with this. I have this problem and I can't overcome it. How would you overcome that? How did you deal with this? Have you dealt with something like this? Do you know someone who's dealt like that? And as Christians, we need to be strong for our brethren. And when they come to us asking us these questions, we shouldn't belittle them and make them feel bad about it. We should help them find a solution. Maybe you don't have the solution, but maybe you know somebody who does. We do all these things to conquer ourselves. And we need to be the kind of people who are willing to put our own self-concerns on the back burner in order to be stronger and better Christians. If you're here tonight and you're not a Christian, it may sound like something that you don't, you know, why would I want to put myself second? That seems counterintuitive. I'm the most important thing in the world. But you're not. Jesus is. And he's given you the opportunity to be a follower of his. And if you're here tonight and you're not a Christian, I hope that you take the time to put Christ first in your life by becoming a child of God. If you are a Christian and you need the prayers because maybe you've slipped and you've allowed yourself to become more important than God, take this time to make your life right. Whatever your need is, we ask that you come forward now as together we stand and as we sing.